Right, that's Matthew 24, verses 1 to 14. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and be put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come."
Well, I was going to wish you a happy new year, but I think I can do better than that, because happiness is kind of transient, doesn't last all that long, does it? But here's something better. I'm going to wish you a grateful new year. What I mean is, I hope this year will be one where you'll be able every day to understand that you are receiving from God his wonderful grace. You see, your very oxygen is by his command. Every breath that we have is given to us by him. And it's not easy to remember that too often. But you can, in actual fact, make it a daily practice to start it at least with grace at breakfast. And that's a good time to do it, because you know the rest of the day is in his hands, and so are you. So I wish you all a grateful new year. Well, that's enough. I think we can get the sermon and I'll go home now, shall I? Oh, you don't agree. No. Well, when I chose the title for this Bible address, I chose four signs for Sad Sunday. And when my wife saw that, she tackled me. She always does. Sad Sunday? Why Sad Sunday? Well, I thought that was obvious. I mean, look at this. It's depressing. I mean, look at the candles. They've gone out. And that's really how life is at the moment, isn't it? Out there. It's flat. It's all over. Just a few weeks ago, it's very exciting indeed. But now, I don't know. Did Christmas come in for you on a credit card? Well, I've just had the bill in. All that food. And the only thing that got thinner was my wallet. But you know, I'm wrong. It's not Sad Sunday. And Linda was right. You men, she said. Don't you realise it's not a matter of grief? For a lot of ladies, it's pure relief. Notice it's the men that are not laughing. It's the women. And it's just underlying my point. But it's not Sad Sunday. It's Glad Sunday. And I'll tell you why it's glad for me. Because there's been a residual feedback from Christmas. Every Christmas, over the last 55 years, I've had to go to the Bible and try and get something new and fresh out of a story that's been told thousands of times and that everybody has heard and heard almost to the state of nausea. And so that's a battle for preachers. And it was for me this year for the carol service that I had to take. But I tell you something, I made a lovely gem of a discovery over the story of the coming of Jesus into the world. And it was absolutely new for me, never seen it before. And that's the genius of the Bible. You probably have discovered this for yourselves, that things that you thought you knew so well, you read again and suddenly something hits you. Hits you? It comes, where does it come from? You see, it's a special book, this Bible. It's a unique book. It's a wonderful book. Do you read it? Seriously? Urgently? Well, now, this is what I found this year. That when Jesus comes into the world, people take journeys. I'd never noticed that before. You see, when Mary was spoken to by the angel, frightening experience that must have been, but when she was spoken to by the angel, she believed what the angel said. She believed it. That's beautiful. Well, we all know that. But here's the point. When she believed it, she moved. The nativity for Mary meant activity. She went on a journey. She went on a journey. I thought about that. A risky journey. Come on. 2,000 years ago, no Ford Focus. 100 miles. Bandit ridden. But she went. And she went urgently. You notice that? I did. Why? Why take the risk? I'll tell you why. She wanted confirmation. In that message from the angel had said to her, now I know what I've told you is going to take some real believing, Mary, so I'm going to give you a sign. And here's the sign. There's an old lady that you know who's well past it, 6 months pregnant. That takes some swallowing too. So she went on a journey to see the proof for confirmation. See that? What about shepherds? Shepherds in a field suddenly, close encounters of a third kind, E.T. if you like, suddenly appearing, a story about a baby being born who's going to be the saviour of the world to shepherds. They're not going to believe it. Or are they? When they take a journey, blow the sheep, leave them. Let's go and see if this thing is really true. That's a risky thing to do, to leave all the collateral behind. Do you see that? It's a journey. And journeys need signs. And the angel said, I'll give you a sign. You'll see the baby. You'll find the baby. Where? In a crib? Yeah, kind of a crib. A feeding trough. You don't put babies in. Would you do that? No, no, no. You know how precious babies are. You find them in a cattle feeding trough. It's a sign. And what the angel said is confirmed. Listen, truth rides on the back of proof. I'll say that again. Truth rides on the back of truth. Proof and truth are twins. And when God makes wonderful promises, he shows evidence that he means business. And so three wise men go on a journey following a star. Can you believe that? Well, I can. The sailors do it. They navigate by stars. So I found that out. And I've been thinking about it ever since. Journeys. 2014 is a journey for you and for me. And what happens at this time, this flat time, this sad time perhaps of the year? Have you noticed how the media indulge in a frenzy of forecasting? It's so boring. I haven't read it, not this year. Who cares tuppence whether the UK leaves the EU or Scotland leaves England? But I am interested in the future, and so are you. What does 2014 hold for you? We want to know. And that's what turned my mind to that very difficult passage read to us so well a moment ago. Because you see, what we find is that Jesus, like the media, becomes a forecaster. Jesus indulges in forecasting. And it starts in a kind of tourist scenario, if you remember. They're looking at the temple. Very impressive building, the temple. One of the wonders of the world. And like a bunch of Americans looking at those two twin towers years ago when they were built. Look at that, the tour guide would have been saying. Look at that. There's America for you. And then at the voice at the back, someone saying, I'll tell you something, in a few years' time, not one glass pane will be standing on another. Can you see the shock amongst the group? That's the scenario here amongst the disciples. They're kind of touristy and they're saying to Jesus, look at this building. And he's walking away, underwhelmed. Why's that? Well, you see, like the Twin Towers, which was the trade centre of the world, that's what the temple had become. A trade centre. He said, my house, God's house, was meant to be a place of prayer for all nations. People were supposed to be able to come to that building and get a taste of what God was really like and start to pray. And so that was the whole raison d'etre of the temple. He made it a den of thieves. A trade centre, Jesus said. And I'm going to tell you something about it. Not one stone. That's what we read. Not one stone will be left on another. And that was a shock. A terrible shock. And it was a sign. So I've got four signs that I want to just bring out from that passage this morning. And that's the first one. Prophetic truth. Look. Look, nobody, not the Daily Mail or the Telegraph or any of the others, can tell you what's going to happen in 2014. The only one who can tell the future is God. He's the only one who knows the future. Thank God. And so you see, what Jesus is doing is presenting himself as the one who knows, who's got all knowledge and understands and can see in the future. And that's what he did. And there's the first sign. It's a supernatural sign. It's a sign from God himself that he will tell us what is going to happen in the future. And he has. And that passage is full of it. It's an amazing passage. And half of the people listening to me now know that passage very well. Because a few weeks ago you were immersed in it, in your house group, studying it in Mark chapter 13. Nod if that was you. Some people didn't nod. Do you know why? You don't go to a house group. And I wish you would. So I'm going to do a commercial. Right now. Do you mind? Because you see, if you're here this morning, I take it that you're very interested in the things of God. Otherwise you'd be out there in Sainsbury's with all the others. I take it that you're serious about wanting to know God, what he's like, and what he plans, and what he's going to do with you. It's personal. So, if you don't go to a house group, why don't you join one in 2014 and mix with a lot of funny other people who are just wanting to find out the truth about God and how good and gracious and kind and loving he is. And that's what we do in our funny little group every week. We could dance some weeks because we've discovered in this wonderful book of the Bible, the words of Jesus particularly, we've discovered marvellous things, haven't we, Jim? Yes. So there's the first sign. What Jesus prophesied was realised. I'm not talking theology now. I'm talking history. I'm not talking fiction. I'm talking fat. You all know 1066. You'd be funny if you lived in Hastings and didn't. But do you know AD 70? I think you do. I think you do. I think you know that in AD 70, the very words of Jesus took place. And one stone wasn't left on another. So you see, what Jesus prophesied was realized. It's there in history, beloved. This word of Jesus can be trusted. It's truth. And it rides on the back of proof. Now, that's a lovely sign. I'll take that with me into the new year. What? Well, that you can trust what Jesus says. And he said a lot of things. He said, first of all, I am with you always. Always. To the end of the age. I love that. Because my age is getting very ancient. And I want to know him right up to the end. That's what we say in our group. We call ourselves... No, I won't tell you what we call ourselves. You know, I get into trouble about that. But we want to go on to the end. We want to love him and serve him and know him more and more. Until we can't talk or think until we're really finished. That's what we want to do. So that's the end of the commercial. Join our house group, friend, and really explore. That's the first sign. But Jesus not only prophesied destruction and desolation, he also said, and here's the second sign, what I call messianic sham from the spiritual world. What he said was, God's temple is going to be destroyed and God's people are going to be deceived. Now listen, please. This is the second sign that Jesus gave us. He said 2,000 years ago, that the world would be full of sham religion. There would be a raft of voices. There would be a multiplicity of messiahs. There would be those who would say, now look, I've got the answer to life. I've got the religion that will get you home. I've got the philosophy that you can work on in life. I've got it. And there are a drowning sound of voices. And so we need to know that Jesus said that's what it's going to be. Very confusing, because after I'm gone, there are going to be many, many substitutes. Watch out, he said in verses 4 and 5. Watch out that no one deceives you. For many, not a few. Read the passage when you go home. Underline how many times the word many is used. And many, many people are being deceived today. And listen, that's what Jesus said. That's exactly what he said. How it would be in the future. They wanted to know, he told them. And we can look back. We can look around and we can see that what Jesus prophesied is being realized. I find that very helpful. Honestly, I find that helpful, that this word of his is so reliable, so provable. Look around you, my friend. How many religions, philosophies, sects, schisms, systems are on offer? But Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. The truth. And the life. And I trust it. And you do well, beloved, to take his words seriously. That's the second sign. Messianic sham. The third, not only did he prophesy destruction and desolation and deception, but he also, and I don't like this, I'm a bit worried that half the congregation is going to get up and walk out in a minute, because so much of this is not what I want and what you want, bright and light, but doom and gloom. And Jesus is seen so often as a pessimistic, and his words are so, you don't want to listen to them in a passage like this. When Rachel heard what I was speaking on, she said, that's a meaty passage, Brian. I know what she meant. Well, what did Jesus say? Well, he said this, all nations will hate you. Who? Well, he said, you will be hated of all nations because of me. Because of me. He said that in the world there would be out there a real hostility to him. Now, this is where we make a mistake. Very often. I do. I think that people hate me. They don't. They might think I'm stupid and silly and primitive and naive, unscientific, old hat, all sorts of things. But people don't hate me. They hate him. Do see that. Do understand that. Because it's happening. He said, all nations will hate you. That's not a very nice word. Hate. And we're to be hated. Jesus said, they hated me. Listen. Listen, you dear disciples of mine. They'll hate you too. But it's not because of you, it's because of me. Well, I don't want to go on with that. The hatred is universal. It's all over the world. Look on the end of those pamphlets you've been given, and you'll see there a plea to you and to me to pray for the people in Syria who are following Jesus right now and are dying for it. Read it. Barnabas, tell us about it every week in this church. Every week we read heart-rending stories of people who've done nothing criminal at all other than say, I love and will follow and believe in Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And that stirs up the hatred in the world. Now you would think, that's a depressing thing, Brian, to bring. Haven't you got anything better than that? And how can you pull out anything positive from that? Well, I can. I can. Because you see, that's what he said. That's how he said it would be. And the proof is in our world. Isn't it? And so you see, instead of that casting me down and making me give up and making me doubt. Why? It's for me an endorsement. It's a confirmation that this word of Jesus Christ is utterly reliable. Truth rides on the back of proof. Take that into this last, maybe last year, 2014. Well, that's it. Wow. What a miserable sermon that was. We hadn't finished. Did you notice in the passage that we read how it ended? I'll remind you. In verse 13, those who stand firm in this gloomy old world, those who stand firm for me and for the gospel, those who are my disciples will be saved. Did you hear that? Will be saved. I think that's a very positive thing, a very beautiful thing to prophesy. Brian, follow me and I'll look after you and take you through the storms, as we were singing. I'll take you through and I'll get you up to old age, into the geriatric sphere. I'll look after you and keep you safe in my love. I believe that 55 years ago. It is true. And the person speaking to you now is proof of it. And he is doing the same and promised the same to everyone listening to me in this church this morning. All right, Jeffrey? You as well, my beloved brother, is after you as he is me. To love us and keep us. And this is what he said. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. I'm finished. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. Oh, I wish I could have a camera that could zoom in here and then take the picture of you lot and put it over into Nairobi and Africa and India, where there are people like me standing up in different languages, all saying the same thing about the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God is being preached right now all over the world. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that beautiful? That it was predicted 2,000 years ago by this prophet par excellence, who prophesied, yes, desolation, deception and derision, but also he also prophesied worldwide declaration. The truth of God is going out all over the world, and he said it would. What truth is that? Why, simply that God loves us, sent his son to us, allowed him to be spitefully and hatefully used for us, and died so that we could be forgiven. That's the gospel. Half of it. The other half is that he rose up from the grave, ascended back from where he came from, and sent in his place his Holy Spirit back into the world to back up this gospel I'm preaching now to you. And if your heart is warming to this at this very moment, if you are thinking, yes, yes, Brian, that's it, tell them about the love of God in Jesus Christ. If you find in your heart right now a warm support for that, then that is the Holy Spirit now talking to you. This is lovely. It's just what Jesus said he would do. I've finished. I'm done. But there are four beautiful signs for your journey in 2014. Four signs from God that his truth can be proved. 2014 can be your year of confirmation, of proof, that what Jesus prophesied was, is, and will be realized. Amen.